This is Time Change Sunday. That's a challenge for almost everybody. Well, good morning, folks, and welcome. As you know, we're kind of working through a week in the news, except over about 12 weeks. We've been talking a lot about sores. Injuries, what are we talking about when we talk about sores, Joel?
Hopefully, if we do this well, we won't get any injuries.
That's great, particularly today.
So the goal is to be able to engage with what's going on in the world and what we see or hear or read in the news in a way that is constructive, and where it we keep in mind that our goal, as it should be in everything, is to love God in everything we do and serve Him well, and to love our neighbor, serve our neighbor better. And let's keep that in mind as we discuss this morning. And again, we want to continue to take everything we see around us, everything we hear around us, and hold it up to the Word of God to see, are these, what can we affirm, what should we resist, and how can we use this bit of news to help us love God and love our neighbors. All the stuff that we're practicing is to that end. So we want to just keep that always fresh in our minds.
Yeah, good. Let's pray, and then we'll try to get into the article quickly today. Father, thank you for a Sunday where we can gather together to be together and to be in your presence together. We ask for your blessing, giving us patience and love as we disagree together, as we debate together, as we think together, as we come under your word together. All these things bound together by your Holy Spirit. So use this time to stretch us, particularly in how we interact with this article and one another, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to make things just a little more challenging. Today's article may not do that, but it also may. It's in the realm of guns, and that leads to lots of fun. What a topic in a way. Yeah, because we want to really stretch in loving each other well. And I don't know if you want to speak a minute to that, Joel, but that's partly why we pick some tougher topics, because we hope and trust that there's disagreement within the body, but all in the context of being united to Christ. And so one of the things we want to really practice today is being quick to listen and slow to speak. Speaking well to one another, even if we disagree, and really all that under the word. So anything else?
As we discuss things that we disagree on, we need to, again, approach each issue asking, am I willing to be challenged? Am I willing to be changed? Or am I so entrenched in a position that nothing anybody else says could make a dent, or even the Word of God might not be able to confront me in my opinion because I hold it so strongly, right? We want to approach with humility everything that we talk about. And as we discuss things that there may be disagreement on, we want to remember that the only things that we should be absolutely adamant about are things that are clearly scriptural, that God has made known to us without any question. And even if we disagree on those things, we do it lovingly. But if we disagree on anything that is less than 100% scripturally clear, we want to be especially gracious then in how we approach those. Yeah. And this article hopefully will be a good one for practicing that and seeing how we work that out.
All right. Should we read it?
Sounds good.
All right. So you've picked up, I'm sure, a copy of it in the back, and there's also a little handout still of the method we're using that you can fold into a little bifold and keep with you. So the article, Utah bill encouraging teachers to get firearms training, carry on campus passes, legislature. Educator Protector Program would cost Utah about $100,000 annually. This is written by Stephen Soros of Fox News, published March 5th, 9:28 a.m. A new bill in Utah that aims to encourage teachers to carry guns on campus by providing a tactical training program for educators passed in the state legislature last week. Utah's House Bill 119 would establish the Educator Protector Program, which would include state-funded training to incentivize teachers to responsibly secure or carry a firearm on school grounds. Under the measure, teachers who hold a valid concealed carry permit can participate for free in an annual program training them to defend their classrooms against active threats and to safely store, carry, load, and unload firearms in a school setting. Participating teachers will be expected to attend the free training course on an annual basis. Instructors appointed by county sheriffs would lead the training, which, according to the bill, would cost the Department of Public Safety about $100,000 annually. The bill has divided Utah residents. Clark Apashian, a member of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, told Fox 13 Salt Lake City that the bill is a logical next step, since those with concealed carry permits in Utah can already carry firearms in schools. But what this does is incentivizes additional very specific classroom-type training for defense of a classroom, Apashian said, adding that teachers are the first engagers during a school shooting. Brian Peterson, a sixth-grade teacher at Lake Ridge Elementary School in Magna, told the Associated Press that the training would be invaluable. Knowing how to defend your classroom, whether it's with a weapon or improvised weapon, is what teachers need, he said. Challengers to the bill, however, maintain that having more guns on school campuses could create a greater danger for students. Expecting teachers to make split-second decisions in high-stress situations may inadvertently blur the lines between core responsibilities and the burden of safeguarding students, emergency nurse Jade Christensen told Fox 13 Salt Lake City. Stan Holmes, a U.S. Army veteran with 30 years of teaching experience in Utah's public schools, told news outlets that the similar training he took years ago was a joke and that it failed to convince him that everyone could handle themselves in a crisis situation. Participating teachers who choose not to carry a gun on their person would be required to pay out of pocket for a biometric gun safe, which uses unique biological data such as a fingerprint or retinal scan to verify the owner's identity. The bill also states that teachers who participate will be protected from civil liability if they use the gun on campus while acting in good faith and without gross negligence. School districts will also be shielded from liability if a participating teacher fires their weapon on school grounds. The bill will go into effect on May 1st if Republican Governor Spencer Cox signs it into law. The Associated Press contributed to this report.
All right, so the survey part of this process, if you flip your paper over, we'll do this together as a big group, and then we'll split into smaller groups to do some of the upcoming sections. One of the things that we wanted to practice with this article is keeping a discussion focused, because so often, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, we get into a discussion that has lots of ramifications, heated opinions, and it tends to bring in way more. You know, we go from talking about this issue and suddenly we're talking about something else that's maybe only hardly related. We want to practice focusing on just what's in the article as a good way to carry on a productive conversation. So as we survey, we want to look specifically what is in the article, and then that's what we're going to try to contain ourselves to through the rest of the discussion and not get into other semi-related or barely related issues. So what is the first survey question here? What is the proposed law? Okay, is it, we're getting close to it there. Is the law that everybody carries a weapon at school? Okay, teachers, is it all teachers or? Okay, and can every teacher participate in the state-sponsored training program? They have to already have a concealed weapons carry permit. Good. So that's helpful clarification. Who can participate? Teachers who already have a permit to carry a gun. Those teachers, can they already carry guns on campus? Yes, they can. So this doesn't bring more guns necessarily onto school properties, because these teachers already have the permits, already have their own guns, and they're so what the law is giving them training that they might not currently have. Dan? Okay, good. So it gives them training that they might not have. Could you expand on what would that mean, protection from civil liability? So in short, they can't get sued.
Right.
Right, that's the essence of it. Right. Right. So if a teacher who's received this training uses their gun, truly believing that they're doing it to protect students, and something goes wrong, they can't. They're not going to be sued, or they're not held, and the school isn't held legally responsible for that. Okay. So I think we're clear now what the law is, and hopefully what it isn't. What's the goal? Why? What's the motive behind creating this law? Yeah, very good. Yeah, the motive is so that teachers are able to defend students in a life or death situation, which unfortunately is a reality. Where's it being proposed? Good, this is in the state of Utah. And
shortest answer yet.
Four letters.
Yep.
I had to expand it and say the state of Utah. All right. And to whom would it apply? We've already kind of covered that. What would be the requirements or restrictions? So we already said one requirement is they have to already have a concealed carry permit. Are there any other stipulations? Right, so that's why what the training is for, yeah. So they have to know what they're doing.
I think somebody also mentioned that they have to be willing.
Yeah,
they're not commanded to.
Right, so a teacher can't just leave a handgun in their desk drawer, right, where a student might pick it up, right? If they're not carrying it on them in a safe way, they out of their own pocket have to pay for a very secure place to keep it. All right. Anything else in just the basics of the article? Who, what, where, when, why, how? Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. It doesn't clarify which schools we're talking about. Francis was wondering as we chatted about this, would this apply to homeschooling families? My guess is in that Utah, they've already got whatever they need. All right. So as we go on to the observe section, we have specific questions that we're looking for. Is there any loaded language, which when we're talking about guns has a different meaning to it, loaded language that aims to tilt the reader one way or another? So does the article seem to have a bias or seem to be persuading us? The interviewees, I think there are three people who are interviewed here. Did the author of the article choose all people for or against, or is it balanced? What are the original sources? And then the worldview questions, especially. Now, there's not a lot,
yep.
Okay? Like, why do humans exist? Where did we come from? What's our future? A lot of those worldview questions, they really don't address, but there are some implied things here of, like, what's the greatest danger or evil that we're trying to avoid? What's the greatest good that we're trying to pursue? Those are some of the worldview questions that we want to dig into here. So we'll split into three groups as we have been. So I think everyone in that section makes a pretty good group. Everyone, maybe from this row forward in the middle group, and then if you four could move over here to join this group, I think that'll be about good. And we'll take just a few minutes in these groups to talk about the observe questions.
And just remember, this is observing. This is not weighing in. Don't put your foot on the scale. This is just what's in the article. Save your analysis critique for later. So really work hard to only discuss what is the article saying without the heat yet. The heat will come in a minute.
Without our own opinions added.
That's right. Yep.
All right. We're going to just wrap up the observe section a second. So did any of the groups find loaded language where it seems like the author of the article is trying to sway us one way or another? Not directly from the author. How about from the interviewees? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Were the people who were interviewed coming from a balanced perspective? I mean, was there a balance of viewpoints in the interviewees? Yeah, we had more extensive quotes from a guy in favor and two shorter quotes from people who were opposed or questioning. So that seemed somewhat balanced. The original sources of information, well, we had quotes of the law itself and then some summaries of the law. Worldview issues, it sounded like at least these two groups, I didn't hear from this one, were in agreement. What's kind of the greatest evil? What's the problem with the world, according to the article? Right. So it didn't use language of the greatest evil, but the evil addressed here, you know, the thing behind it is danger, physical danger to children is the evil. And so then what's the salvation offered? Right. Teachers with guns who can protect the students. That's the sort of salvation there.
I think we talked a little bit about the value of life, mm-hmm. Protecting the innocent. There's something right about that. That's at least a worldview question of what's the value of human life.
Yeah. Yeah, and John also was bringing up the idea of responsibility for your actions, that if you're going to be carrying a deadly weapon, you should know how to use it well so that you don't unintentionally cause harm. Mm-hmm. There's assumptions about the value of life and the nature of responsibility there that are worth noting. Does this article address anything about anything outside of physical, natural life? Or is it entirely, in a sense, materialistic in that kind of this life is all we've got? I guess to ask it more explicitly, is there any recognition of life after death, or that death isn't actually the very worst thing that could happen?
Any purposes beyond the here and now, money, health?
Yeah, is there any acknowledgement of that here, John?
No, there isn't. I'd like to.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in asking that question, I think you're very right in what you're saying. I don't intend to be criticizing either the article or the bill, but just observing, because as we come back to this and thinking about how do we respond and so on, we want to acknowledge what does God's word say about those things. So we're just observing the fact that it's just not addressed in the law or in the article. You know, so there are some spiritual truths that are relevant to this that just aren't addressed.
And I think it's helpful. So point taken, But it's always helpful to be looking at what's the government's worldview underneath this. Where are they coming from? What's missing? Just so that we can even know how to engage with it. So I think you're right. We're not trying to say, hey, they should have had the gospel in here. But there's almost always an implicit gospel preached. What is the hope? What is the salvation? I think that's just worth noting. So I think, good point, how much are we expecting a reporter, especially on a bill, to include? So, yeah, point taken.
All right, so before we move on to the analysis, we wanted to pause to make an important distinction. Is the article addressing the right to bear arms generally, or is it in a specific circumstance? Yeah, so really what we're discussing, oh, Calvin? All right, so that should affect our discussion as we move on, that we're not really talking about should people just generally have the right to bear arms. It's not the question under discussion, so we want to avoid going there as we're talking about this article. We're talking specifically about teachers getting training to use guns in a classroom setting. Generally, teachers who already have guns in the classroom. All right. And then the next question, does the Bible clearly address that specific question about teachers receiving training to use guns in a classroom? No. So hopefully that was kind of an obvious one. We can't point to chapter and verse. So the fact that there's no clear scriptural guidance for if teachers should get training to carry guns in a classroom, how should that affect our discussion as we talk about this article? Right? Okay. So if we're in the area then of general wisdom and inferences from principles, does that mean that two deeply committed Christians can have completely opposed views on this issue and neither one is wrong? Yeah. Now, that's not to say every view is right, but two very opposed views can be equally held with faithfulness to Scripture. So how then should we talk about this? Well, with a lot of grace, right? And with being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So let's turn to the analysis questions then. Try to give that maybe 5 minutes.
That's 1 minute per question, so get moving.
And we'll see how we do.
Or pick the most interesting question and work on that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, your 5 minutes is well passed. Something to
well
discuss.
Well passed and hopefully well spent.
Then well spent indeed. You can conclude these conversations over coffee for the next 15, 20, but...
Yeah. All right, so one of the questions that came up in at least two of the groups, maybe all three, is can we affirm the value of protecting life, right? Is that in line with Scripture? And I think we all said absolutely, right? That we have the right, the duty, the obligation to do what we can to defend the innocent, protect the weak, and even to defend ourselves in certain circumstances. But then moving on from that, what means can or should be used for that? Does the government bear the right to forcefully and even lethally stop somebody from harming others? Oh, do you want to address that?
Well, yeah, I think Romans 14 is pretty clear on that one, but the question that our group asks is the article seems, or in Utah, it seems like they're deputizing government employees, which teachers are, at least in the public schools, to that end. And is that a fair boundary drawn or not?
Yeah. So does the government then have the right to deputize those teachers, give them the training and provide them the ability to do that? I think a case could be made. Is it wise for them to do that? Might be a totally different question, right? But once we step from what's clearly scriptural to what's wise or not, that's where we want to start being very gracious in our discussions. Hopefully gracious the whole time, but being cautious, I guess, in what we cling to or proclaim with confidence. All right. If we look at the respond part, we'll try to do this really quickly. The article is about Utah. Is it relevant to us here? Is it worth discussing? Right. School shootings are relevant everywhere, and what do we do to prevent those? You know, the ethical question of how do we defend those who are vulnerable is relevant here. And even if we disagree with the way Utah's doing it, we could learn from what they're doing and say, well, let's do something different, or let's do something. All right. How can this article shape our prayers? What's that?
Pray for people.
Yeah. Pray for God to restrain evil, right? Pray for safety.
Wisdom for legislators.
Yeah.
Those living in fear.
Yeah. And pray that God changes hearts, right? More importantly than saving lives is saving souls. And the more God's kingdom spreads among the people of this country, you know, the less we're going to have broken families and troubled people and all of those kinds of issues, right? And while the article might sort of point to the highest good as saving life, we would point to an even higher good of knowing God and you know, ultimate salvation. How do we fruitfully discuss an article like this? Or maybe we even depart from this and get into a broader issue of gun control. How can we do that in a way that doesn't turn Christians against each other? Katie? Yeah, the last time I discussed gun control with a Christian, somebody was saying, basically implying, if you're not in favor of taking everyone's guns away, then you think school shootings are great. And, you know, that's just not a constructive way to talk with anyone. We both want to preserve life. We just have different ideas about the best way to do that.
I think Mark wanted to add something, too.
Yeah. Is there any difference when we're talking with unbelievers about something like this? Of how, because they're not going to know Romans 14 or probably care, so then how can we have fruitful discussions with others? Right, so we're not giving people the impression that if I were to become a Christian, I would also have to have this set of particular political beliefs. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. A whole lot of stuff, but I think younger generations don't even know or understand what happened.
Good. So asking questions is a fruitful thing, and that way you even start to get a sense of how is this other person getting to their conclusions? What's behind their thoughts? What do they know? What do they think they know? And also it can give us a sense of are they going to be willing to listen and engage fruitfully, or is this going to turn into a shouting match, and maybe then I'll just stay away for now.
I think two almost opposite conversations. One would be just talking more broadly about the value of protecting innocent lives and how best to do that. That's a worldview question, but one that everybody cares about or ought to care about. And thinking the other way, whether you directly or indirectly mention sin, the abuses of whatever things you put in place, as many laws as you put in place, you cannot stop people from twisting it or from abusing it. You can push either direction with those.
All right, so we've pushed well past our intended ending time. So let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word to guide us, your spirit to be in us, and we thank you that we can, as brothers and sisters, disagree about things and talk about them and love each other well through that. Please help us to grow in that. Please guide us and give us grace. You've been so gracious to us. Help us to be gracious with each other. And we do pray that you would protect those who are vulnerable and that you would help us also to seek to protect the vulnerable, the weak. Please give us wisdom to live skillfully and give us hearts to love well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.